Alright then guys, what is going on? My name is CloudPlays and welcome back to the Crimson Cast, the premium Destiny 2 podcast where we focus on the creators. Evidently, Destiny is in the space that it's in at the moment, but people still seem to be taking advantage of where they're at. At the moment, we've got a creator that's going to be coming onto the show with us and is blessed us. Honorably blessed us with his time. This guy is an absolute legend. A lot of you, obviously, if you're watching the video format, can already see his beautiful smiling face. That smile never leaves. He is an absolutely amazing man. He has been on YouTube for a very, very long time. This guy has got 66,000 subscribers with over 7 million total video views. This guy is probably one of the happiest people on YouTube I've ever seen in my life and has supported me throughout near enough most of my YouTube career within Destiny. I want to introduce the man himself, Mr. CB Gray. How are we doing today, sir?
Yo, I'm doing great, man. I'm happy to be here and I appreciate the opportunity. As you said, I mean, we've known each other a long time, so I'm happy to be able to come on, catch up, talk, and just talk about talk.
That's cool. Right. So we have a segment at the beginning of every single podcast to, like I say, we've known each other a while, but these are sort of quirky questions, which will essentially give the viewers a bit of an insight into the weird and wonderful things that you enjoy. All right. Yeah. So we like to call this segment the icebreaker, because if I don't know the guests, then it definitely breaks the ice, give or take, but we should That's be okay. Good. So question number one, tea or coffee?
Oh man! So I've actually never drank a full cup of coffee before.
What?
As crazy as it is, I'm a gigantic water drinker, and I never wanted to get dependent on coffee at work. I mean, I've had some tiring mornings at work, but I've actually never drank a full cup of coffee. So I'll have to go tea. Not that I'm a much bigger fan of tea. I feel like we've already broke the ice. I shattered the ice. Oh, I didn't just break the ice. I shattered
like,
it.
Literally, everybody else that's been on the show has literally been like, boom, tea, boom, so, coffee. So, like, literally, it's been so fast.
So if I could, like, as crazy as it is, because I feel bad, because some of my family that's from, like, down south, like, very big avid sweet tea drinkers, and I kind of didn't fit in with my family in that respect. But then I also... I'm not huge on coffee either. So, but if I had to take a pick between the two, I'd have to choose tea because I don't like coffee.
That is crazy. Man, so, I don't even know if I want to
smash the ice. I didn't break it.
I don't even know if we want to go on to question two, man. All right,
okay. Podcast over.
Question number two. Cereal in the morning or at night?
Honestly, as crazy as it is, I don't really eat cereal for breakfast that often, so I'd probably say at night, because the time that I feel like I'm actually going and eating cereal is when it's like 3 a.m. and I grab like the box of Cheerios and just pour a bunch on a napkin or in a cup and just eat it as a midnight snack. When I was younger too, whenever my parents would be asleep, then I'd go grab the Lucky Charms and eat all the marshmallows out of it.
Oh yeah.
And not eat any of the non-marshmallows. So in the mornings though, I usually, if I could choose between a breakfast, I mean, I would choose an omelet or pancakes or waffles or French toast over cereal. So it's no dig at cereal in the morning. Like if there was cereal in the morning, I'd eat it. But I feel like I actually eat cereal more after midnight than I ever do in the morning.
I love this. This is so in depth. It's amazing. It's utterly amazing.
I'm a potato at life. I always tell everybody I don't do anything normal. I'm weird and strange and the worst.
Right. Number three, this is a massive judgment, and we've had one person who answered it, and we nearly ended the call.
I feel like I'm already failing, so here we go. I'll just...
Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
So, I mean, it wouldn't be the first thing I would choose, but if there was... I'm not one of the people where, let's say that, you know, I haven't eaten dinner, and then somebody's like, I ordered a box of pizza, and then I open it up, and there's pineapples. It's not like I'd sit there and go hungry. Like, I actually like pineapples, especially, like, not on pizza. I mean, I think pineapples are really good. I love pineapples. I love pineapple upside-down cake. I like pineapples a lot. So I would definitely eat it. But would it be the first pizza choice? Like, if they're like, you could choose any pizza, would I choose a Hawaiian pizza? No. I probably put jalapenos on it and other spicy stuff.
Yes. I like spice. It's my guy.
I'm not saying that I hate it, though. There's some people that hate pineapple on pizza. I'll eat it. It's not my number one choice.
Okay. We had the first ever podcast here we had with Anubis, and he was just like, straight answer, yes. I was like, bro, come on.
Oh, man. Anubis is great.
He's a lovely man. I'm so happy for him. He's doing really well. Right. The next question, for those people who do know you already, this is an obvious one, but for those who don't, your Destiny Master Race.
Titan.
100%. I knew that was going right. I love it.
Of course. I mean, I've been using that Titan that I use every day since, and that's the D1 Titan from 2014. So it's been a long journey with my Titan. I can't switch up.
100%.
No matter how many jokes.
How is it that you ended up like sort of wrapping yourself around that Titan though? Because there's got to be a story behind that, because everyone's got their story of how they got their Master Race Guardian, their one character that they live and swear by.
I think it was just that when it came to raiding, because I had all three characters.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I just loved my Bubble Titan. I just loved Bubble, and I just fell in love with that super. I only was a Void Titan in all the raids that I'd always do, and I love no backup plans when I go into Crucible too, and shouting no backup plans, and I just really fell in love with Bubble Titan. That was what happened at first, and then I feel like it was like a wrap and solidified when Twilight Garrison came out.
Oh, 100%.
Then there was no going back after that.
My dude, if that doesn't come into D2 at some stage.
That's the thing I always say, because people always ask, like, do you want returning exotics back? And I'm like, well, if they're gonna bring back exotics anyways from D1, then bring back Twilight Garrison. Like, if they're just gonna bring back new stuff, that's fine. But if they want to bring back old stuff, bring back the Twilight.
100%. That's an exotic I'm surprised hasn't made its way back into the invents already, to be fair. Right. So we want to delve a bit into you into your story. So going way, way back, where does gaming, or at least as far as you can remember, gaming really start for you?
Gaming started, it's actually funny that you'd mention it, because I got this controller sitting right here. Oh, I'd say gaming started with this. Whoa. And with this. These two right here, probably for me. I'd say gaming started so as early as, like, you know, all of the, like, Mario's and Pokemon that I would play on my Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance. I just don't know where my Game Boy Color is, but I got a Game Boy Color too somewhere. And then that was, I guess, where handheld gaming started for me. But it really all started with N64. And I mean, that's why some of my favorite games of all time are N64 games. I mean, I'm a huge avid Mario 64 head. I love everything about Mario 64. Grew up playing a lot of Smash with the family. I loved Legend of Zelda. I mean, Ocarina of Time, and just that's where gaming started for me. Like, young, like, if you want to go all the way back and turn the clock, definitely was the N64 days. I mean, there's just so many gems on that platform, and that kind of kicked me off. And it's kind of funny because I never really had any first person shooters really entice me to the point where I could pour hundreds of hours into it until Destiny, which is super weird, because I did like Halo. I'd play it with my best friend. He'd come over and we'd spend some nights every once in a while. When he'd like spend the night, we'd play all night, just like playing multiplayer, and it'd be fun. But could never really invest, especially by myself, until I saw that trailer for Destiny at E3, and I was like, and I saw that it was made by Bungie, and I recognized that they had also made Halo too, which was really the only other game besides a little bit of Call of Duty that I ever even delved into. And once I played that, man, it changed everything. But yeah, to turn back time though, N64 definitely changed everything for me.
That's crazy. I didn't expect you to say N64. But like, for me, I mean, you look really young. Like, if you don't mind me asking, like, how old are you? Because if you're playing like the N64, that's where I started.
I keep it with me all the time, Cloud. All the time. Like, all the time. I got my favorite. Oh, like, I got the OG games with me.
No, mate, those cartridges like, take you well back.
Like, I like, they're always like, they're a part of my stream setup. Like, I have my N64 is like it's integrated into my stream, because like I play those games so much. But I will be 26 in November, so I'm about to be on the other half of getting close to 30.
Yes, cool, man. So, you can join the club. Right? we're all getting wrinkly over here.
Yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, I graduated college in 2017 in December. Okay. And I have been a software developer since March of 2018. So I've been working for about 2.5 years since I graduated. And yeah, time's just flying, man. It's flying. I can't believe I'm going to be 26. So I'm glad That's I still crazy. Look young. But
man, you are looking good for 26. Like, I'm 27. So, I swear to God, like, honestly, if my missus was not the best woman on the planet, she would have definitely found somebody who at least looks younger by now, right?
Yeah. I think you're selling yourself short. You look good. Right. I'm trying to get like you.
So taking it like from the game inside, what is it or who was it that made you want to get online as far as being able to edit your own videos, clicking that go live button? What is it that made you want to push yourself out there to the general public to be seen and heard?
So what made me want to like essentially like start YouTube and become like a content creator? So the biggest thing for me was like, I love Destiny, as I mentioned, in 2014. I was playing, I had a clan that introduced me to some like to the raiding experience and other cool stuff, and I had a blast. Like, you know, I had a whole lot of fun like playing vanilla Destiny and Dark Below and House of Wolves. But then kind of when King's Fall came, I didn't really have with the dry spell kind of with House of Wolves, I kind of lost some of the players that I used to play with. And then by around King's Fall, I really didn't have many to play with, and I really wanted to create I thought it was something impossible. I never would have thought I'd be sitting here personally, but I just was hoping that I could create some sort of community where people could feel comfortable playing together and being able to get help with the things they need and not feel like they need to know a lot to be able to get into a group or have a certain weapon, like, you know, back in the Gjallarhorn days, or have to have your a certain amount of completions. I just wanted there to just be a community where we could all come together and play and kind of just have it be a positive experience and just kind of have what I felt like I didn't have. That's what drove me to want to start.
There wasn't and many so, places like that, though. There wasn't, like, I didn't have Gjallarhorn until, like, just before the big drop off for the Gjallarhorn. I had to run with the crow of rocket launcher for like the entirety of my time. No, I got kicked from so many fire teams.
I hear you. And so that was a tough time. And so that's what drove me to want to, start then. It's what's driven me to want to, you know, do all the help streams that we do, like, and just to try to make sure there was a place where people could like kind of call home, where they kind of were comfortable with being able to have fun and get help with the things they needed. So that kind of pushed me to get started. I didn't really know how to stream. So I figured, you know what, I'd start off trying a little bit more with the help styled videos. Mm-hmm. So like stuff that would kind of help in terms of with different aspects of the game, and just kind of starting from there and trying to work on some videos to help out. And then when YouTube streaming went into beta, I just decided to just give it a shot. That was back in early 2017, I believe, when it went into beta. So I just decided to give it a shot, and that was really what started
gaming days
out. When YouTube gaming had the standalone, when it had the standalone app. It's funny because I still have the app on my phone, even though when you click it won't go anywhere.
So do I
thought it was. You have it too?
So do I, 100%. Because
I can't bring myself to delete it, even though you can't do anything with the app. It's just like 100%. It represented a very like a very just nostalgic time back when I kind of got started. But
100%. I think you've definitely managed to hit that transition well. I think there were very few creators, to be fair, to a degree, like myself included, that managed to successfully make that smooth transition from Destiny 1 to Destiny 2 and still have such an impact that the game that you were playing really didn't matter. And I know you're going to obviously like somewhat disagree with that. You are the Destiny guy on YouTube. That's sort of your key point. But I feel like for you, the one thing that kept me coming back, like, I don't really care what you do as far as in your stream. Like, the one thing that keeps me personally coming back is, it doesn't matter if you're having that down day, or it doesn't matter if you've just come out of that argument with somebody, you can pop into your stream, see your little bobbin head in that right hand corner with that big ass smile, and just go, my guy, he's living it, man. He's loving his life right now.
I appreciate it.
I think, like, when you look on social media, you really appreciate, like, the view that they have. And I think for me personally, back when, because we were speaking before the stream, before the video, obviously the support tube days, which was obviously myself, you, We had Wilhelm. We had Sorable. Yeah, like back in those days, like we were all such, I don't want to say insignificant beings, too. But we were, yeah, this is what I mean. Mm-hmm. But we were such like small parts of the community that had all come together. And I think, like I was saying to Wilhelm last week, like I think for me, regardless of the success rate that you have on a personal level, there is nothing more amazing than watching a friend or a fellow creator like literally thrive of what they do best. And I think for you, man, I'm like, I don't think I could genuinely be happier, because I've not known a guy to grind his ass. I don't know if it was Destiny 2. You did a stream for either a DLC or it was the launch of Destiny 2. I can't remember which one it was. You hammered through that for like 12 to 16 hours or something. Like it was crazy.
Forsaken, probably.
I went to sleep. I woke up. I got my kids ready for school that day. And then went back on my phone and you were still going, bro. You were still going.
And I mean, I appreciate those support too, days too. Like, I mean, I feel like the thing that I love the most about that, and just something that I strive to do too now as well, is just trying to have a platform where people feel comfortable kind of getting started. You know, like it's like you said, we kind of didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how to get started. A lot of barrier to entry. It can be kind of intimidating to kind of get going. And that's another thing too that I've really been loving about the community, is just people have been so just like pumped and amped up to get started. And I just feel like everybody's really supporting everybody. And that's something that I really love to see, because I think it's really cool helping people get stuff in the game done. But I also love seeing everybody get behind and support each other's dreams too.
Yeah,
that's really the cool thing too. I mean, it's just that, and it's like you said, it bridges outside of just Destiny. At that point, it's just people supporting people.
I think that's what the world needs, man.
It's a cool thing. I agree. I mean, especially like just, it's just good to see. I mean, it's refreshing, and it's something that, I mean, it brings me more happiness than people will ever know. So
100%. 100%. So a question that I really wanted to ask you was, you did a series of streams where you were running for the DFA, for all of these DFA, man. There's no way. You went in for those so long. What on earth made you want to sit there for hours and hammer through this Nightfall and just keep going through those strikes?
Well, so it's funny. Like, so it starts off with one of the reasons why is because one of the best things that I think that Bungie doesn't even realize how right they got it in Destiny 1 was strike specific loot.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to like Grasp of Malak, Imago loot, Cloak of Tanix, the Vaughn Brothers arms, Alakul's helmet, or the Scion Flayer's cloaks, or
that was cool.
all of these different things that were so unique that brought so much life to strikes. That was something that, even though I thought that Curse of Osiris obviously had its rough patch, like we all know it.
Oh, and, yeah.
There were some things that weren't 100% where they needed to be. But one of the things that I personally still thought was one of my favorite parts was trying to get the DFA from Tree of Probabilities, the Duty Bound from Savathun, the Silicon Neroma out of the Pyramidian, and then ultimately when Warmind came around, the Braytag Osprey and Nokkos as well, and then the Transmat effect, if you want to count that as well, from Soul. But the thing that really made me want to help with that is that would, like, I felt like Nightfalls were still like a tough thing to grind out without friends. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted, I wanted to just try to help where I could. I didn't quite know how to 100% set up a bunch of raid help yet at the time. I was still kind of new and learning and trying to get my bearings, but I felt like I had enough like confidence myself, because I'm nothing special. So I was just like, I feel like I have enough where I can at least help with a Nightfall. I was like, let me just try to help where I can and just try to help as many people as we can. And that's why, it's like you said, we'd sit there for some of those streams for like 8 hours, 7 hours, you never know. 100%. Some of them were really long, and they were just, but they were so much fun. And I think the thing that I fell in love with the most, and I was already really enjoying this in Destiny 1 as well, but I just couldn't stream as consistently because I was still in college. But once I was doing it every day after I graduated, it was just seeing the reactions and smiles on people's faces when they would get that weapon that they've been really, really waiting really, really long to get, and then it would drop, and just all the happiness. It was something that, I mean, I found out very quickly what I was passionate about. And it's just, and that was something that I love just being able to just kind of help alleviate some of those barriers to entry on some weapons and now raids as well. And that's what had me doing it all those hours. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, they're like, how can you do that same strike over and over? It's like, it's a different experience every strike because you're with new people, new conversations, and then ultimately new reactions as well. So it all was good. It was a good time that I'd never take back for anything. So
100%, I wouldn't take that back. That gave me a lot. To be fair, I spent a lot of time in those streams. Probably more time than I care to admit. Sat in those streams watching you grind that, man. Like, if I was at any point doing anything around the house, or it was just me and the kids, they were watching TV, it 90% of the time it was guaranteed you were on my phone or on my tablet. It was an adamant move.
Seriously.
So I'm gonna ask a question because I feel like I missed a trick or I missed something somewhere. I went onto Twitter probably about a week ago, and I saw, and I was like ambushed on my feed with memes of you with a tinfoil hat on. Right. You need to explain this, dude, because that it blew my mind.
This thing?
Oh my god, wait, it's real.
It's real, all right.
Oh, and it's got a strap, dude.
It was actually funny when I had my quarantine hair, before I finally got a haircut, this thing wouldn't even fit anymore. So I guess it's only right that we give the story of the tinfoil hat too. So this actually, it's funny, it dates back honestly to right after DFA streams. So okay. It's funny that it was right after it. But basically what went down was, I've always been one, at least to like kind of rewind a little bit, I've always been one who's really loved some of the mysteries in Destiny where we're kind of like on these like witch hunts to try to figure out what in the world's going on, whether it's like Outbreak back in Destiny 1. It's like, what's up with all of these monitors and what's up with, like, what is this leading to? And same thing with some of the other secrets that came within Destiny as well, like Black Spindle. Mm-hmm. Like all of those secrets and figuring out and speculation and all of that is like some of my favorite stuff in Destiny 1.
Yeah.
Fast forward to Destiny 2. We're, I don't know if you remember when Warmind came out, but when it did, people at Datamined Warmind and saw that there was a catalyst in the database that looked very similar to Black Spindle. So we all were like, Black Spindle's in the game. We got to figure out where it is. And we're like, it was, and so there is this, I'd say like 3 month period almost where before, I guess, ultimately, I believe it was in August when Whisper actually came out. But where we were on the hunt looking for this weapon almost in every stream, trying to figure out like if it was in one of the strike specific loot. One of the big theories we had at the time was that it was in the Zol strike. And there are these weird pyramids that like we were all looking at. We thought it had some sort of like correlation to what was going on because there was no strike specific weapon in that strike. We were looking at Reddit. This is when I became like really good friends with like Sweatsicle and some other people too, because a lot of people were looking amongst the community. It was just a very like crazy little time, and so we were looking everywhere for this. And then eventually it was, the really really cool part was that Whisper actually ended up coming in the game, and it actually was we weren't as far off as we thought we were. Like, it wasn't just a witch hunt that led to nothing. It led to Whisper, and so that whole process became kind of known as spin foiling or tin foiling, where I have another good friend named Vet, Veteran Guardian, another creator and good friend of mine, who made this meme where, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Signs by M. Night Shyamalan, but there's a scene where the three of them put on, there's the two kids and then the uncle have on tinfoil hats to protect themselves from the aliens. And he put my face on this picture. And then we ended up cropping out the picture, and it became an emote on the channel, me having the tinfoil hat on. And so the process of tinfoiling kind of became a thing through the process, like through looking for things in Destiny. So that process continued when Niobe Labs came out, and when we were all over the place trying to figure out what in the world do these symbols mean in Black Armory, like before Niobe Labs even came out, because if you remember, you could see those symbols in all the forges. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what in the world is up with these forges? We're getting these emblems. What's going on? And then Nivy Labs ultimately came. Same deal with Quarters of Time. Those symbols were already showing in the infinite, like in that infinite realm that we would go through. We are already like seeing those symbols before the Quarters of Time actually happened. And so we were trying to figure out what in the world that was going to lead to, which ultimately led to Bastion later. But that whole process is what became known as tinfoiling. And now, whenever we're speculating anything in the game, we throw on the tinfoil hat. And I mean, now the latest thing is trying to figure out what in the world's going on beyond light and just other stuff like that. So that it became an embodiment and a very living part of the channel that used to be like something we would do that didn't have really anything attached to it. It was just something we did just for fun. And then it almost like the tinfoil hat kind of like solidified it, I guess. And so now we throw it on all the time and it's just a lot of fun. So I don't know what I do without it at this point.
That is actually amazing. That is actually amazing. I didn't think the story behind that would be so fascinating, but that actually makes solid sense.
Yeah, it was a good time. And now some people who actually like subscribe to the channel and like found me during that period or always like, hey, I found you during like the theory video era, because I had been putting out these theory videos where I'm like, where in the world is Black Spindle? Before I knew it was Whisper, because we didn't know it was Whisper yet. So we would always call it Black Spindle. And it was just all so cool. That whole time was so cool because Zol kind of died in the strike and we're like, what the heck? Like he can't be dead. Like he's like such a herald part of the lore. How can we just kill him? And then we get into the Whisper mission, we hear his voice and he's not dead. And it's just, there's a lot of cool stuff in Warmind. Warmind was a very glorious time.
So where are you in your community sitting at the moment with the whole stranger re-entering the game? Because obviously if you're big on the whole conspiracy thing, you've got your own story to what the game entails.
We're excited. I mean, it's really, really cool to see the Stranger, Aeris, and the Drifter all coming together. That's I'd say unlikely like trio. That I think it's gonna lead to some very cool character development, especially for the Stranger that I feel like we've kind of been waiting for since the end of the Destiny 1 vanilla campaign.
Yeah.
When we saw her disappear ultimately. And at the time then, like story was kind of told a little like, you know, it was kind of hard to follow the story at the beginning. So when you originally saw her disappear, it's just like, what in the world is going on? Especially to you go back before you go back and read some of the lore at the time as well. So I know there's a lot of people who are really curious to see what in the world the Stranger is going to bring to like ultimately the Destiny story as a whole. So I'm very excited. I mean, this is something that's been a long time coming, I'd say since vanilla Destiny 1, and that was 2014. So it's going to be really cool, man. It's going to be really, really cool.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. So yeah. Looking back on obviously your journey through YouTube, and it's been a pretty iconic one. You've got some really, really big iconic points in your, we'll call it a YouTube career because at this stage it definitely is. So, but you've got some really big iconic points in your YouTube career. At what point for you personally, not through figures, but for you personally, like the feel that you get when it happens, do you feel like that breakthrough to the community really started to explode?
Like breakthrough in the sense of like where a few people might know me or in what way, like just
when,
in general.
So like when did things sort of like start to change on a basis of not looking at not statistical figures, but when like the, I don't even know how to explain it. So like those moments where you look at it and the chat's moving quicker than normal and you're like, shit, what is going on? And then those moments where you get that streamer feeling where you're like, this is happening.
So I started getting that feeling, I'd say the help streams are definitely what started it, I'd say, because through just trying to help as many people as I could, just wanted to I guess just like I said, alleviate as many barriers to entry as I could for people. As we continue to help, a community and friendships and like this family was formed it was just really organic and just, and it definitely, it still catches me off guard to this day, just to see how many friends like we've made along the way. And just that now we have this, I mean, like where you say that the chat's obviously scrolling faster now than it scrolled in, let's say 2017. So that was, I mean, I'd say the way that that kind of formed was just over just the consistency of just every day, just trying to help out as many people as we can and just making more and more friends every single day. And that was a very, like, I'd say it didn't just like happen in the blink of an eye like that. Like I can't like pinpoint that to one moment where, let's say, like, I don't know, we just started having more people consistently watch. It definitely was a very like slow curve on like trending upward, and that that just came over the years. But we did have some big points as well, like Forsaken was one, and some other, like, you know, cool like event/DLCs coming out, like those always help as well, obviously. But yeah, it was really, I mean, just through helping others, just so many friendships were made, and that's kind of the beauty, and that's I think the reason why I love it so much too, is that you think that sometimes you're just helping somebody with a weapon, but sometimes it's just so much more. It's like it's extending a hand to somebody else, and then next thing you know, friendships are made, and people that you helped in 2017 are some of your best friends in 2020. So it's pretty cool, and it's been something that's been just an organically built thing. I don't know. I can't pinpoint it to one moment for that. And
To hear that out loud, I don't really know like what kind of like answer I was expecting, but I think to hear the humbling point of where it was for you was the friendships that you've made through it. I think that is what defines a streamer, like what defines somebody who ends up like making this a career, making this a lifestyle, who ends up being in front of people's faces for years to come. I think that is that's a really humbling thing to sort of hear from you. Do you know what I mean? I don't know why I would have expected anything else, to be honest, but I think that's absolutely crazy.
It's been humbling, man. It really has, because like I said, it's not like I'm anything crazy the game. I'm not doing any crazy solos. I'm not doing any low man challenges. It's not like I'm the craziest PvP player alive or anything. So it has been humbling, because I don't think that in terms of my Destiny play at all, there's anything wowing or spectacular or anything that's anything above the ordinary that would suggest that, you know, we'd be able to like do what we've done. And that was definitely something that was made me nervous before I ever started. I was like, you know, I'm nothing special. Why would anybody ever, you know, stop by or do whatever? But it's just streaming and content creation, whether it's YouTube, Twitch, whatever the case may be, it's so much more than that. And it's just connecting with your viewers and your audience. And eventually it's just a family that you have. And so it once again, it's just kind of transcends the game, and it's more of like just people, like really just enjoying people.
That is nuts. I absolutely love that. I love it. Right, so at the moment, obviously we all know that Destiny's going through, I don't want to call it a dry spell, because we've experienced some really bad dry spells before. But obviously with the way that it's been going in the world at the moment, they've obviously taken the DLC for Beyond Light to drop come November. So obviously as content creators, as human beings, we're all understanding as the reasoning of why.
Yeah, for sure.
Obviously that's going to impact the structure of Destiny right now and impact the economy of where it's going over the next couple of months or so. What are your sort of insights over the next few months? What is the things that you're planning to sort of do over the next few months to be able to sustain your playtime till November?
So for me, I mean, I guess it's never really been like extensions, like the same way happened in Shadowkeep. It never, I think it worried me too much, because a lot of my, I guess, content, quote unquote, is helping people with things that already exist in the game. So like I still help people with the Whisper of the Worm that came out in 2018. So, you know, so for me, it never like has really mattered whether, you know, we have new stuff coming every 2 seconds or not, because I feel like there's always going to be a new Guardian's first day of playing the game every single day. And they're not going to have a lot of those things. So there's always going to be people who need Whisper, Outbreak, or Thorn, or a raid, or whatever. So for me, I just look at it as more time to help people get stuff, especially now that things are leaving. So for me, I've completely kind of shifted gears a little bit more to focusing on the 5 raids that are leaving in November. and we've just been banging out as many Spires and Leviathans and Argos and Scourges and Crowns as we can, just to make sure that everybody gets completions, everybody can get their raid ring if they want it, everybody can get the weapons they want before they leave. And yeah, so for me, I think it's a win. Like, Bungie gets more time to make a better DLC for us. We have more time to help more Guardians get stuff they need before it leaves. Because I know some people were really stressing. It's like, man, like, it's already almost September. I still don't have Anarchy, or I don't have Taraba, or I don't have fill in the blank with whatever you want that's leaving. And now we have until November. Things are a little bit more relaxed. Help more people get stuff. And yeah, so I think it's all going to end up working out. And Bungie is going to ultimately make a better experience for us. If they feel like they were rushed, I feel like it was the right idea to move things back. So.
I'm going to 100% appreciate that as well.
So I'm excited.
Oh, no it's way.
A nice little birthday thing, too. So I'm excited.
We smell a 48-hour stream coming. We smell.
I'll have to see if I have PTO days.
Oh, man. That's amazing. So, obviously, we were talking about things that are leaving the game, and there's quite a substantial list of things that are leaving. What's your views on the Destiny Vault as far as being able to dip things in, dip things out, especially with such a massive list of things that are leaving us in Destiny 2?
I think it's cool because, I mean, if that didn't exist, I mean, and before we knew it existed, but we knew things were leaving, I think we were all under the impression that anything that was leaving Destiny 2, so all the planets that were quote unquote getting exploded or whatever, like those were gone forever. But now it's seeming like things that Bungie can pull away, pull back later if they want for nostalgia. Like, so I might do Spire of Stars 3 or 4 years from now. Who knows? Like, that's one of my favorite raids. But I think it's really, really cool because not only does that mean that there's certain things in Destiny 2 that can maybe come back if there's fan favorites that people ultimately, let's say in 2022 or 2023, really want to see again. But it also allows them to bring D1 stuff to play as well, that I think is also really exciting. Like, I think a PC experience of like Vault of Glass and King's Fall will be really, really awesome for some people who started Destiny 2 on PC who maybe didn't have console or like whatever, being able to give people their first experience for some of those activities that they may have never got the chance to do, or maybe it's hard to find friends to play those things in D1. Like, they may go buy D1, but it's not like it's as easy to find people as it was before.
Yeah.
So I think it's a cool way to allow players to play things that existed and to also remove things out of the game without them having to go forever. So
it'll be interesting to see how they interpret that, because obviously there's no way that they can just remove things just off the cuff. It's just going to go. Like, Destiny generally has that storyline basis as to why they've left. So it'll be interesting to see how it is that they take it away so that they can still bring it back, especially when you start talking things like planets. That's my biggest confusion. I'm like, these things are being taken over. How are these coming back? Like, are they coming back? Like, I understand the tinfoil hat now because my head's just spinning.
That's when I hand you this and you start coming up with the ideas and let your brain run wild.
It is pretty impressive. I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. But while we're talking about obviously the DLCs and how they've sort of structured their move forward, they, I think, took a lot of us off guard when they announced like the next three big moves. Obviously, like, you had your videos up on that, and we've if you're a fan of CB Grey, like, we've all delved into that. But for those people who haven't, where was your headspace at when that happened? Like, how many tinfoil hats were you wearing? Like,
I had 6 of them on, and I was standing in my chair. But in all seriousness, when they had started talking about all of that, I was in complete shock. I was actually like, I know it sounds like I'm just being extreme, but I was literally standing in my chair, speechless. But I was blown away. Like, never in my wildest dreams I think they would have brought up the words Vault of Glass. Never in my wildest dreams did I think we'd be talking about anything past, I'd say, the 3 seasons after Beyond Light. So I didn't expect to hear anything about, like, you know, 2021's DLC, like with Witch Queen, or then even 2022 with Lightfall. Like, being able to already let our brains run wild that our Savathun conclusion that I feel like a lot of us have been waiting for over 5 years now, Like that's coming in 2022, and then Lightfall, you hear that, and it's like, are we gonna lose? Like, what's going on then? It's just, there's so much more that got announced and teased than I ever could have imagined. And me, I looked like I was 5 on Christmas.
I think we felt exactly the same way, man.
Yeah, so it was a good time, man. Like I'm excited. I think they handled that release like beautifully, and like I thought it was really, really good on Bungie's part.
100%. So I think the one thing that I'm really intrigued to sort of know, especially with you, because mm-hmm. I know that you are such a hard worker, whether it's real life or whether it's on stream, everything you do has to be to the greatest quality, to the biggest amount of time that you can physically string your body to do. What is, because obviously we've got 3 years of content, like where is CB Grey going? Where are you going in the future? So where is it that you want to take everything that you've kind of done from since finishing college? I think it was college. It's in the United States. Yeah, it's all different. Yeah, finishing college and going into this job and getting your promotions. And alongside that, becoming... And you will underrate it, but for me personally, probably one of the best, and if not one of the biggest, genuine YouTube streamers as far as the Destiny community goes. Where does that take you over the next couple of years? If you know, obviously.
Yeah, for one, I appreciate the kind words, man. I'm just grateful.
That's the truth, my dude. YouTubers that pop up a stream every now and then, but you are a YouTube streamer that grinds, man.
I appreciate it. There's a lot of amazing people who do it. I'm just grateful to be able to be a part of it. But in terms of me personally, I mean, I'm just... I mean, like I said, like when I told you that when through the help streams, I found the passion of mine. And I think it's so important in life to have passions and whatever you do and to pursue those passions, because ultimately that's where you'll find the most happiness. So in terms of the content creation, YouTube, Twitch side, I want to keep doing what I'm doing. I want to keep making videos where I can. I want to keep, I want to keep helping out people as much as we can in streams. Like I want to keep doing the help streams on YouTube and Twitch. I've been loving that. I've been loving now being able to bring the kind of the YouTube streams over to the Twitch side as well. I've been loving some of the features over there as well, like raiding other channels and being able to help others. Like my passion is helping, but not just in terms of just helping in game, but I've been loving like also being able to be a part of now new streamers' journeys as well, in terms of their growth and their journey and starting off. And I want to keep being able to help people as they start their journeys too, and feel like through our community, there's a support system where everybody can kind of follow whatever dreams they have and be able to and feel that support with whatever, whether it's content creation, Destiny, or just in life in general, just checking in on you have a test that you're studying for, whatever the case may be. So I really want to keep that going forever. That's something I never want to change. I want to keep helping with Destiny. I want to keep helping others in terms of life in general. So that on that side of YouTube, and I also want to keep making people laugh too. I've been really enjoying also making more funny style videos as well as the guides. That's another thing I love too.
I notice the twist. It's been going well, man.
I love making people laugh too. So I mean, if we're helping people out, if people are smiling, I'm happy. That's all I want for YouTube and Twitch. So I want to keep streaming as much as I can on both platforms. I know it's a little unorthodox. There's not that many people I don't know who are streaming on both platforms, but I really love like starting on YouTube and then heading over to Twitch and being able to do things on both sides of things. And I want to keep making videos that help people out. I want to keep on keeping on. So on the YouTube side, that's what I want to do. On the job side of things, because I know we didn't talk about it too much, but so I'm a software developer, for anybody who doesn't know. So I like a computer programmer. I went into college in like computer science and computer information systems, so I am a coder,
hard worker.
So I'm a computer coder programmer, and I've been doing that for about 2.5 years, and I want to just keep trying to do my best to keep my head above water. I'm not the best computer programmer. I feel like I get by, and I just try to do my best. So just, I want to just keep making sure that I'm able to do my job and do it effectively, keep the bills paid, and you know, keep making friendships and healthy relationships at work as well. And yeah, just, you know, keep everything going and try to just also just keep a good balance between the two. So
100%, 100%. So the next few questions are a little bit strange. So please don't judge me on them, right? Because we've asked a few of the other guests sort of like questions that are very similar to this. And I think the outcome of it's been very, very interesting. But if you were given one evening to sit down at a table, have a meal, and just really pick the brains of any three other YouTubers or streamers and just sort of like soak in as much information and have as much of a laugh and just enjoy a night, who would those three content creators be?
Oh, three, that's...
I know, it windows it down. We've had some really, really, like, not controversial, but we've had some really points where they've just sat there and they've... I have no fucking clue whatsoever. Then there's been some others who have been like, right, these are my favorite people in the world. Like, it's crazy. But if you could answer it, then go ahead. If not, then it's perfectly fine.
Man.
Would you be one of those guys where you love everybody so much, you wouldn't want to sit down and have a meal? You'd have to throw a party and have everybody through the door.
Honestly, I was going to say I'd love to have a gigantic round table of, like, just everybody pull up a chair and just be able to everybody sit. Because, I mean, that's a tough one because I feel like there's people I love to pick their brains who, you know, have been doing it for since the beginning of time. But there's people I love to pick their brains who are in a similar similar spot that I'm at. And there's also people who are just starting their journeys. So I'd also love to sit down and just talk about just how life is starting things like at this current point in time and concerns and feedback and what they faced and questions they have. So this one's a really, really tough one because if I could, I don't know if I would rather focus on like picking somebody's brain or being able to just like, I don't know, or being able to help
somebody. Like, yes. I knew that was coming.
This is a tough one for me, but yeah, man, three's a tough one. If it was me, I'd break the rules and throw a party.
100%.
And invite the whole community if I could. Now, that'd be a whole lot of food. That'd be a whole lot of food. I love to eat. But yeah, it's a great question.
It's difficult. It is difficult. It puts you on the spot quite a bit. So I do apologize for that one. But
oh, no, you're all good. I mean, I think it's a really cool question. I'd love to like one person who at least like I can say like got me like at least going in terms of like before I used to watch any streaming content besides like a little bit of Mario 64 speedruns. Godalion was the first streamer I ever watched in Destiny, and seeing his community is actually one thing that really made me want to, you know, have a group of friends where we could all do what I described earlier. Mm-hmm. So being able to talk to him at GuardianCon was actually a super, super cool and like really almost like full circle thing. Like last year at GuardianCon, would love to be able to talk to him more at some point in time. He's a really, really great guy. But yeah, it'd be tough to put three. I'd love to talk to as many people as we can. Why not 300? Would be my answer.
and the other one is, it's a bit of a similar question, but for people that you are not in communication with, for people that you don't sort of like talk to on a genuine basis, if you could generate a raid team, who was it that you'd want to raid with? Out of people that you don't generally talk to, like any, like none of your friends or none of like the content creators that you currently socialize with, if there were people that you don't know that you would be like, let's just do a raid, let's get into it, what are the five guardians would they be?
People that I don't know that haven't talked to that much. So I guess we could re-throw Goth in that list. That would be cool.
Yeah.
I've never played him. People that I don't really know anything about. That's a tougher one. This is such an interesting.
It's just because I think because if somebody asked me like who would you if you could just generate a raid team right now, who would it be? It'd be really easy, but it would probably include people that I talk to on a regular basis. So like if I was on the right consoles or the right time zones, like I'd 100% be linking in with you, 100% be calling up Wilhelm.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That'd be awesome too. That's the thing that stinks too. Is there's just only so many hours in the day, so it's just so hard to stay in communication with everybody, especially with time zones. Like even us, it's like what, we're 5 or 6 hours apart. So that, I definitely get it. And but so people I don't talk to every day, but people I can know, but are people I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. People that you can know, just that you don't have like a standard communication with.
I would love to raid with Fami. We met at Guardian Con. We're like our friends. We don't talk every day, but I would love to play with Fami. That'd be really, really cool. Fami's a great guy. I like Fami too. We ate a lot of really good, what was it? We went to a Japanese steakhouse and ate really good steak. He's a great guy. We've never got to play.
Love a good
steak,
man.
We don't talk on a consistent basis, but anytime we talk, it's always a great time. I would love to root Fami. People I don't talk to. This is such a hard
It's really
one.
Difficult. I hate asking these questions because they sit here on my desk and we have like a spiel of questions. The people that like have helped me generate the Crimson Cast, massive shout out to them. They've been amazing trying to like people in and go through like questions and stuff like that. They come out with some really obscure and weird bloody questions. Yeah. So like some of them they're like, I'm like, what would you want to know from CB Gray? Because I know him to a degree. What would you want to know as a viewer that isn't a content creator? What is it you would want to know? And these are the things they come up with. So we're blaming you guys.
This is a tough one. Yeah, the aspect of my tinfoil hat, so that I can rack off any theories I have. We'll bring Bife and Mylan in too, so I can rack their. I have like only a billion theories about a billion things. So I'll let them just debunk them one by one by one, and I'll just go down the list of everything. So,
I think Bife would be a really good one to pick, wouldn't
he? Awesome.
Listening to him, I'd let him run the raid just to hear his voice consistently.
Exactly. So, we'll bring both of them in, and then I'll bring in all my tinfoil theories that we'll just go into them one by one by one. I don't know how many I've mentioned. I know I've mentioned a few. Those would be some cool ones.
100%. There's 100%.
Once again, there's too many to name, but... yeah, like that's a cool question too, though. And that's the cool thing too, is that with as many people as we all do know, like within, like everybody has, like I'm sure a lot of friends within the community. The cool thing is there's always more people to meet and more people
to get
to know.
Pop up all the time. And I think that's the best thing about the Destiny community. And I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I'm sure you'll agree that I think for me, the one thing that the Destiny community did for me and still does to this day with new people coming out of the woodwork left, right, and center is how tight knit we are, like how close we all are. So like I was talking to you about like people that we've had on the podcast previous, like we've had Anubis in there, and you're like, Anubis is great, and I'm like,
I haven't talked to that'd be another one too, throw Anubis on the list, because we haven't actually like ever had a conversation, but he's, every time I've popped in, he seems like such a genuine awesome guy.
He is really, really cool. But I just think it's such a crazy community to be a part of. So like for me personally, I've dabbled around in different communities. I've not always done Destiny, so I've been in GTA, I've been in Fortnite.
I've followed your channel the whole aspect. Time. So I've got to see some of your journey as well, which has also been awesome.
But it's crazy. But I think the one thing that you notice when you do stupid things like hop around into different communities on YouTube, we're not going to go into that. Mm-hmm. But when you do stuff like that, you sort of like appreciate the good things. And I think that the Destiny community, even if you don't know somebody, so like people that I've tried to get onto the show, I've dropped them a DM. If I was in any other community, par se, without slandering any other community, love you all, people just wouldn't respond. Like I've had some people that I just would have never like imagined would ever respond to a DM. It's just like, really appreciate what you're doing, love what it is that you want to approach, blah blah blah. Unfortunately, I've got this, so on and so forth. And you like, I think the niceness of the people in the community outweighs everything, absolutely everything. And I think my biggest thing is I've not really gone to many events, and I think that's probably my biggest regret. Is there many events that you've actually been to as far as like Destiny events?
I've only been to one. I've been to Guardian Con last year, and I always tell anybody who I talk to that, I mean, it's one of my favorite trips I've been on in general. Like the amount of people I met, creators and not creators, that just goes for just people in general. Mm-hmm. Like I met so many people that you just never would have ever guessed. You just so many connections that you never realize. So many great friendships. I've met people there that now are my friends now. It's just there's something really special about Guardian Con, like something very, very special. And I'll be going again this next year, because I bought my tickets for what was supposed to be this year's last yeah. year. And so that got pushed to next year. So like I already have that going, and it's getting to connect with people is just one of the coolest things ever. Like people you don't know, and everybody's just so willing to talk to everybody because everybody's there to meet people.
That's
so
how it started, wasn't it, with Guardian Con? That's how it all yeah. started yeah. off. Yep. Was it? I think it was Goth and Probro
yep.
that really started pushing into
yeah.
it.
T-Rex, like all of them.
Yeah,
so it's been awesome seeing their journey and all of the money that's been raised to fight cancer and all of these different amazing causes. It's been great, and so many cool friendships and so many just. I feel like everybody just always leaves with all these amazingly really cool stories. Like. I mean, I could even tell one. Like, I met or thought I was meeting. So I'm on that. It's funny, you'll understand in a second. But I'm on the airport leaving Guardian Con, and I see Pure Chill, who's in Primal. I watched for a while, amazing player.
Yeah.
And I'm like, didn't know you were like headed to Virginia. Like, that's really cool. I didn't know you're from Virginia. We end up talking for a little bit, tell him a little bit about, like, I'm a creator as well, do some stuff. And he's talking about his. And I'm like, where are you from? And he says he's from the exact same home city for me.
No.
And I'm like, wait, what? And then it's like, how old are we? And then we're 1 year difference. And you're like, well, what school did you go to? And we actually found that we went to the same middle school in our yearbook. And so it's crazy what? Stories like those. Yeah, me and Pure actually, and now we go to, we get dinner like every month. It was before the pandemic, of course.
Yeah.
But we get dinner every month and hang out off stream, and it was just a friendship that never would have existed without Guardian Con, but we didn't even realize that we went to middle school together.
That's amazing. I like Pure Chill. I watch him on Twitch quite frequently. Yep. I remember when Primal first kicked off, and it was like obviously yep. him with Enkooch and all of them boys. They are absolutely crazy. That is such a small world, man.
And so if I went and grabbed my yearbook right now that's upstairs, like we went and found both of us in the same yearbook. So that's what I'm talking about. It's that type of weird Guardian Con magic that I can't explain, but like what's the chances of something like that, you know? And there's so many really cool stories that I've heard amongst so many people and that's why I highly recommend, like if people can, like obviously you can't always get there because for you have a whole ocean to cross to get there. But for me, you know, yeah, it's like yours, you have a long distance to travel and there's just all these other obviously circumstances and other things that can hinder people from going. But I always say, you know, if you can, if it does end up lining up, like it'll be a trip that you'll love.
My plan is that hopefully next year that the world is in a much better place than where we're at right now. And the ticket will be purchased. The flights will be ready and I will be heading on over.
I'll be there to meet you, man. I got everything all set up and I'm excited just to once again, just kind of just be a part of it. It's so cool. It's just so cool just to be able to just walk around and meet people. And it's something that you'll see. It's very
100%. There's a lot of faces that I kind of want to pair up to the names in the DMs. Do you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of people that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because like obviously we've known each other for a very long time. I've always spoken to you. I've always watched you on stream. But it's not like it's really hard to sort of explain, isn't it? So really comfortable, like I've been talking to a friend who.
To see those faces though in real life, there's some cool special thing to that as well. There is. I understand what you're saying. Even after talking to somebody for let's say 3 or 4 years, and for some people, I saw there were people that were meeting their fire teams from D1 that they might have been playing with since. I guess that was 2019. So since 2014, and then meeting face to face for the first time after like that's 5 years, that type of stuff is really cool. So,
100%.
There's it's a cool event. So hopefully I'll see you. It'll be
definitely 100%. So this next question is a bit of a weird question, but this is for me personally because I've always been like really intrigued because as far as like your screen setup goes, you are you don't like making yourself the focus point of it. You put yourself in the corner. You've got generally it's quite at least it used to be quite a small sort of dragged down cam, so they can still see you, they can see your reaction, but you don't like making yourself the full force of your stream. I really want to know how bloody tall are you, because you for me look like a guy who is huge. Okay, I've got this image of going to Guardian Con next year, standing there and having to look up and go, my guy.
I'm no skyscraper. I'm 6 foot, so I I was it's funny, I was 5'11 until I grew an inch in college, but so I'm 6 foot. Like, I mean, I feel like, you know, maybe a little taller than average, but nothing too crazy. Yeah, I played basketball growing
up. You say 6 foot to somebody and they go, okay. I mean, I'm like 5'9", so I'm okay. When we meet up, I'm definitely looking up.
I won't be towering by too much, though. So you say, so 6 foot. So yeah, I'm 6 foot.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Right. Well, as far as any questions go from me or from my team, that is about everything that everybody has kind of wanted to know. If you guys want to know anything sort of off the cuff or anything like that, or anything that I can kind of answer for you guys, or CB goes into the comments at any stages, if you're watching on YouTube, feel free to write down into the comment section. If you want to go and check him out, the links are all down in the description. 100%.
I know, it's my turn too, Cloud. I got one question too.
Oh, no.
I always have questions, too.
I always try to avoid this.
The podcaster, gotta always. I just want to hear what made you want to get started with your podcast. I always, you know, you always got to ask at least one or two questions. At least me personally, I always got to. But what made you want to get started?
With the podcast or?
Yep.
Yeah.
We can put that. Like, what made you want to make it?
The podcast for me has been something that I have entertained for probably about the last 2 years. I'm not gonna lie, I have never actually gone through with it because I've always done a lot of work in real life. I do about 70 to 80 hours work in my job, man. And then if we're not doing that, we're streaming. If we're not doing that, I'm looking at video ideas, or I'm editing, or I'm like spending time with my kids or whatever. So my sleep pattern is about 3 hours. So as far as the podcast, it was always delayed. And it wasn't until this year where, again, for those of you in the Destiny community, you will know. If not, then feel free to research it. I don't really want to mention it too much, but the Destiny community kind of set off a bit of a whirlwind this year. And I feel like there are a lot of hidden gems in the community that didn't get the spotlight that they deserve. And that there was a lot of people that probably didn't deserve the spotlight that they had. I think for me, it was, there's a lot of people who have helped me across the years, and if I can dig into how they got to where they wanted to be and where it is that they want to go, if we can put that in front of enough people, that we can make that little bit more of an impact for them. I know that sounds really stupid because the people that we interview are a lot bigger. A lot of the time, I didn't ever imagine that was going to be the case. I kind of imagined that we were going to be like interviewing a lot of startup channels and trying to help them out, and there are some that are en route for those of you guys who are interested in seeing some new content creators you've not seen so far. But it was just kind of like acknowledging the content creator themselves. The game has always been a spotlight for all of us, and we've all got our memories, and it's been the greatest time of my game in life, 100%. But for me, it was just what it meant to other people, what it is that other people dig into. And I think that's a massive, massive part of the community that we're a part of. It's about everybody else. And I think that's one thing I want to shine it from.
Very cool. So it sounds like just trying to help people out. Just everybody just helping everybody. And it's very, very cool. And I think that it's a great podcast. It's very positive. And I'm always happy to see good friends doing great things. So I was happy when you brought it up, and when I saw you starting it, I was excited to see. So it's good to see you doing what you're doing, man. I'm happy. Like I said, I'll always be here, you know.
100%. We've got a lot of plans in the future. There's a lot of things that I want to do. So once the new PC gets set up, guys, this is going to go, obviously, going to go live, at which point I want to try and get group ones in. So hopefully in the future, obviously, if we'd slip you a DM, that you'll be interested in getting in with a couple of other creators, and we can all really rally around where we're at. Hopefully about beyond light, if not just before, so we can approach it. But we will see, man. But
you know, always just a message away.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you on, dude. We have a segment at the end of every podcast where we give you your last word, and you can promote whatever it is you want to promote. You can tell people where to find you. You can tell people merch lines, anything that you want to promote whatsoever. This is your time to do it.
Oh, there's not too much to promote. I mean, YouTube and Twitch, CB Gray for both. And if Twitter for updates, CB Gray _. Outside of that, every once in a while, take a second, just jump and see if any YouTube streamers are going in. So many amazing, nice, great people. Also, stream it over on the YouTube side of things as well, helping out with countless things. And just, there's a lot of people that also definitely, as you mentioned, would also be, I mean, it'd just be cool to see what they're doing as well in terms of spotlight on them as well. And just, yeah, just go check them out. See how they're all doing. They're some amazing people. Same thing with on Twitch as well. Just so many amazing creators. So just go check some new faces out. That's what I would say. If you want to follow me and see what I'm doing, you can check me on those places, but I'd recommend go take a look and see some new creators you don't recognize.
And see, ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't say it in a nutshell, his promotion time was for everybody else. Go and show this guy some love. All of his links are down in the description if you're watching on YouTube. We are also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Spotify. If you're watching on Apple, then please make sure that you pop that 5-star rating and review. It'd be greatly appreciated. We want to really start pushing those at the beginning of the podcast, so that'd be absolutely amazing. Massive thank you to CB Gray for coming on the show, and a massive thank you for you guys for listening. Make sure you like, subscribe, go and check out the creator. Thanks again for watching, guys. I appreciate all of your damn faces, but as always, up until the next time. I'll see you in the clouds.